That song is long.
Hey,
Welcome back to Serving Up Success with a Splash. We are so happy to have everyone back with us today. I am here, Angie Snowball, the Snowball Effect, the Renaissance Woman, with my co-host, Dr. Nadege Dosanjh, the Strategy Doctor, and Mr. Bruce Kramer, the Corporate Cockroach. And today we're going to be talking to you about selling yourself. If you were lucky enough to catch us last week, we had an internationally renowned sales coach with us, Danny Creed, and we talked about the secret of sales. Of course, we scratched the surface, but as the three of us regrouped, we said, "You know who we really what we really need to sell? Ourselves." So this is all about selling yourself. First and foremost, we're going to start with the drink because that's very important. I'll say it again. The more you drink, the more fun we are. So this week we're having a sea breeze. I already made it for you. You don't get to see me spill things this month, but this week I'll do it again next week. But it is 1.5 ounces of vodka or two if you're feeling it. Just push it up there. It's okay. And then we're going to do 3 ounces of cranberry, 1 or 2 ounces of grapefruit, and then you just put that over ice and you garnish with a lime. It is delicious. And mine's half gone already. So that's how good it is.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers to everyone
I'm drinking
listening.
red
Welcome,
wine,
everybody.
please.
Welcome. Thank you for joining. Thank you. Thank you.
I know. Thank you guys so much. Okay, so like I said, we're going to start out with talking about who needs to sell themselves, why they need to sell themselves, and how. So I guess the first question is probably going to be, who the hell is she talking about? Like, I'm sitting in a corporate office, I'm a cubicle dweller. Why would I need to sell myself? Or I'm a mom. I got a job. These kids are driving me crazy. Why would I ever need to sell myself? The answer to that is what we're going to go through this entire hour with you because it's everyone. Selling yourself is something we should all be doing. It's about building confidence. It's about knowing your story, appreciating your story, and telling your story. And that needs to be told whether it's for professional reasons or personal reasons. We all need to sell ourselves. So we are going to start off with my buddy here, the corporate cockroach, who was in the corporate world forever. Bruce, tell us why, if you're in the corporate world, why would you need to sell yourself?
Oh, good God. So, it was interesting when you opened up, you talked about climbing the corporate ladder. And that's a phrase that just kills me. I'm not saying there aren't people that's part of their motivation. However, the reason to sell yourself is to position yourself. I believe it's to position yourself in a role that takes advantage of your passion, first and foremost, and your values, and also your skills. Because, quite frankly, if you don't do that, it's just a job. But if you learn to sell yourself, to position yourself within a corporation, to do the things you enjoy most, oh my God, it's just awesome. And I was very fortunate that for the bulk of my corporate career, I was in that. In fact, I drive people nuts because a lot of people, when they think of climbing, well, what do you want to do? Do you want to be the vice president of marketing? Do you want to be the CFO? And of course, those seats are limited in every organization, large
Right.
or small. So wherever you want to go, you're going to have to be able to tell your story and sell yourself into that, what you believe to be your ideal position, because there's a lot of people and there's a lot of ambition around you. And so,
And the people
you need
choosing
to,
you don't have time. They don't
that's
have
right.
time to sit around and sort you out and decide who they like or not. So would you agree with that, Bruce? Like, that's another reason.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're always under the microscope. And the thing about it is, in any organization, you're always on. You're always being interviewed, whether it's formal or not. So you always want to be prepared, show up prepared and be yourself and be on.
All right, so there you go, corporate people. Whether you're hanging on a rung, trying to climb it, or whatever you're doing, you got to be there for corporate-wise too, or big business, whatever. All right, now we're going to switch worlds. We're going over to the strategy doctor. Dr. Nantej, let's talk about the world of academia. Why would I need to sell myself? And does everybody, professors, students, who should be selling themselves and why?
Same answer as Bruce gave you, Angie, but I've got some nuances to it. I think the first thing is in academia, it's more subtle. Selling yourself is more subtle. You've got to position yourself because people don't know you. So if you don't write as a professor, if you don't write a paper, if you don't get great reviews in your classroom, if you're a student, if you don't do well in a group presentation. All of those things, we don't call them selling, but they are selling, right? If you're in a group presentation with a bunch of students, you've got to push forward your ideas, and you've got to make the best of who you are and what you've said. Similarly, as a professor, you're in front of 100 students, and these days you get evaluated as a professor, and it's been the case for a decade or two. If you're not putting your best foot forward, if you're not showing the presentation, if you're not getting participation in the classroom, that you're going to get a bad review or you're going to get an average review. But all of those things, we don't call them selling, right? But they are selling. It's putting yourself forward, right? It's exactly the same thing as what Bruce said. And a quick comment about Bruce. You know, you said Bruce has been in the corporate world forever. Absolutely. Since 1905, I think he's been in the corporate world. Totally.
That's not a
That might
bad
be a
mention. I was
little.
thinking that
Let's
I'm
just say it
joking.
was in the 70s.
1870s. I think the way Bruce said it was perfect. It's not about sort of self-publicizing. Particularly in the UK, you know, culturally, we're going to be very different to the North America, right? And Europe
Definitely.
is different to us. So it's not about self-publicizing. It's about positioning yourself, putting your best foot forward so that you have, if you're enjoying life, right? You don't want to be sitting there and nobody knows who you are and what you do well and what you do superbly.
That's what I was thinking when you said, you know, it's not about selling. I like how you said positioning. And I was also thinking it's about actively participating in life. Like Natez just said, it's not about sitting back waiting for something to happen to you. Because, I mean, I'll pick up the rear here with everybody else, but maybe you're between jobs looking for a job. Maybe you're a mom that thinks you're never going to work because you're going to raise your kids and spend the rest of the day on the beach, and then life changes on a dime. I mean, if the pandemic taught us anything, it's that the world can change for every single human being in a minute. So why not be actively participating while things are good? So that if something changes, you're always ready because you were always a part of the game. I see that a lot with like moms, stay-at-home moms. They come out, they want to start, and they want to go to work, but they just have no confidence because, like, I haven't done anything. Last 10 years, I haven't done anything. Like, except manage, you know, football teams, and that's project management too, you know. But you have to put your foot forward, and you have to show that you're always learning, and that's kind of why I like LinkedIn because you can always have your own brand awareness, you know, share things you like, be interested, learn things, and just be there. Natej.
I think the way you just phrased that, I don't want to use the word sell. I'm going to use slightly different words. Be interesting, do interesting things with interesting people. That is selling yourself. I know, you know, you talked about mums. I know a lot of people who don't self-publicize. They're too shy to talk about themselves or put themselves forward because they think it's self-publication, self-publicizing. But in essence, they're not telling the world. The world is having to guess how talented they are. They're the best kept secret in the world because they're keeping their own secret.
And honestly, nobody has time to figure out your secret. Sorry, dude. I got 9 seconds of
Somebody may,
attention.
one or two people may, but by and large, people aren't going to figure it out. So you've somehow, in a way that's authentic and modest, you've got to get your best foot forward.
I like that very much. I think that's really cool.
And
And you know, oh, go ahead, Bruce.
no, go ahead. You go
Well, I was
ahead.
just going to say, when we, even when I kind of typed out the the title of this. For a hot second, I thought, "Ooh, selling yourself sounds like the world's oldest profession, right? Maybe we should change the words of this." So as we sit here and talk, I'm like, "Oh, yeah, we probably should have said being there, being present." But it is about selling yourself at the end of the day. It's telling people who you are, what you do, and why and how you want to participate.
But
Danny,
I'm
to
gonna
you go. Sorry, Bruce, go ahead.
pull on what you just said. To do that goes back to our first episode, awareness, self-awareness. You really have to understand what is your value, what is your passion, and also, and not only value in terms of what you add, but what are your actual values? I've heard in this conversation, learning. That's a value, lifelong, having that desire for lifelong learning, being able to be yourself, authentic. So that self-awareness coupled with the organization that you're a part of, and again, it can be, it can be at home with the family, whatever. You then want to understand, well, where do you fit? What gets you most excited? And again, based on what you're skilled at, man, it's magic when you can piece those together. So that's the first step in selling yourself. Where the hell do you want to be?
Yeah, he doesn't know this, but he kind of stole my thunder. I was going to say the same thing. I think
I got an
everything we
example.
do.
And then there's other elements, but I know we're going to break, but we can get into then
I
how,
want to
well,
say
okay.
before we go to break, I want to say something, guys. Just watching you two talk about that, you're so animated. And I've got to say that being interested and being interested in life and participating in life, you get to be like Bruce and Angie. Look at, see, this is not a
And
joke.
not
Look
us.
how good these guys
Yeah.
look. Seriously,
No.
look at them. They look amazing. Look at the energy in their faces. And it's because they're not sitting there under some sort of bushel or under some sort of, hiding themselves away. I got one anecdote before you take this, Angie. I know he's listening, I think. There's a guy who is one of the most intelligent guys I've ever met. He's got an IQ off the scale. He's been an entrepreneur. He's sold businesses, but he keeps calm. He's always calm. He's cultivated this persona of calmness, and I love it. But people don't always know just how incredibly talented he is. I know one or two other people know, but a lot of people just don't know how incredibly talented he is. He's top
Yeah.
drawer, but he doesn't talk about it, and he stays calm. And I'm just he reminds me of watching you two be so animated and so energized. And I think,
Well,
dude,
if you're
be like
interested, you're
Andrea and Bruce, you're
interesting.
going to stay young forever.
That's the plan.
We will. That is the plan. All right, folks, we are going to go off to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how to sell yourself now that we've all decided to do it. Jesse, take us to break.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Look, my camera's chopping my head off now. Oh, and we're back. Okay. Anyway, welcome back. I hope everybody had time to either make their drink or refill their drink, because now we're getting into the good stuff. Hopefully you've seen that we all have a story to tell. Even if we don't see it, that's where the awareness comes in. We need to help find people that will help us see how cool our story is. And then the next question is, okay, I got it. I'm ready to sell myself. I got a story. I know my value. What the hell do I do with it? So, Bruce, what would be some advice that you would give people in the corporate world? Say they're going for a promotion, or maybe they just want to be well known for exactly what they do in their industry. What's some advice you would give them to, quote unquote, sell themselves?
Well, the first big piece of advice, and it comes from not only being a part of many interviews where I was pursuing a position that really intrigued me, but also I've conducted hundreds of reviews in my career. And what really set people apart is their ability to tell a story. So let's say you've got your resume in front of them, kind of list out your accomplishments and what you've done. But to tell a good story, and I've had people say, including myself early on, well, how do I become a better storyteller? Well, buckle up, Angie, if you thought SWOT was an old tool pulled out of the bag. And by the way, SWOT is very appropriate today. It's been recycled, and, you know, consultants to stay in business have to reframe things.
Is this one going to be before I was born?
But it's called the STAR method. Have any of you heard of the STAR method?
No, was this 1870?
Tell us more.
So for the STAR, and again, the S stands for situation. So to be a good storyteller, you got to provide a little bit of background and set the scene. And people do this, you know, they'll be looking at your resume, but instead of going through the list of accomplishments and all that BS, you tell a story about something you did that incorporates that. So you set the scene. The second, the T, stands for task. Well, what were you asked to do? What did you have to accomplish? What were your goals? The third, the A, well, what action did you take? And you want to tell the story in terms of your contribution in terms of that action. And then finally, the R was the result. And when you talk about result, what happened? What was the positive impact? You also want measurable objectives that you can allude to, as well as what did you learn? So set the scene, talk about what it is you needed to accomplish. How did you go about doing that? And what was the result? And you do that, just the story. And then they look at your resume and you go, oh, man. You know, and you can literally go through the various positions you served up to that point, telling those types of stories. The third thing I'll point out that I think you have to build your, what I call, social capital. And how do you build that? Well, one, as you move through your career, you let people know what your strengths are, what you desire to do, and you actually get in to where you're taking action and accomplishing things, make damn sure you're taking care of others. If you help others that you're working with to be successful, they will help you. But the other thing you do is go out, you know, if you identify people that you admire within an organization, in your family, I don't care what it is, use them as a mentor. That's building your social capital. That's people getting to know who you are that will start selling you on your behalf.
Right. That's the other best thing, when you don't have to sell yourself. Exactly. Somebody else does it for you.
If you've got, so what you do is you build like an army of advocates where there's, you know, you might be in a 60,000 seat. I've worked anywhere from 30 to 60,000 people in the organization. If you can get 1,000 of them that go, Oh yeah, this guy would be perfect. You know, we know him, you know, and again, these are advocates, people that worked with you, that together you have accomplished things, you help them, they help you, your mentors. And guess what? Play it forward. If you see somebody struggling, you be their mentor. But these relationships compound. And before you know it, there's an army of people in the organization that are selling you. That when somebody says, oh, I got the guy. I got the perfect guy.
Yeah, and that works for everything, by the way. Notice that Bruce and I did this on Natej. He's always selling us. We didn't ask him to. The smartest guy in the world I know
is always talking nicely about us. And then, you know, I'm going to shut up because I want Natej to weigh in on this. The final thing into selling yourself is to continue to learn. You know, and by learning, you meet people. I think, Angie, you said it best. Participate. Volunteer. Get involved, especially if it gets you out of your comfort zone. Again, you're getting yourself exposure, and you're learning new things that only add. And then again, make sure the trail of people are all, you know, somebody once said to me, a good sign of a leader is when you're standing at the edge of the cliff, ready to jump. Are they going to push you, or are they going to jump with you? And so you want to build that whole group of people that, you know, really appreciate and respect. And by the way, that works both ways. You help others, they help you. Okay, I got to shut up now.
No,
but that'll
awesome
sell you
advice. And you know, really I awesome think too, I'm going to move to Natej too, but that doesn't always happen inside work. It can, but you also have to be, you know, the outside volunteer activities that your work does, or the charity things they're doing, the galas they go to. You got to be a part of that stuff too. All right, Natej, tell us about academia.
Do you know something? I got to say, I just learned a lot of stuff from Bruce. We really don't rehearse this stuff. I didn't know what Bruce was going to say. And I find myself taking notes.
Either do I, so in I a lot of cases.
I can do it next time. So I got some very different stuff to Bruce, actually. So I literally made notes of what Bruce was telling me.
I did
on my
too
bit of
I
paper. So I got some different stuff. I got three or four buckets. The first is do things. Do things that excel and exceed. Do hard stuff. And what do I mean by this? I mean discretionary effort. So if this is your role, go outside of your role. Do more than your role. Do things which are hard. You'll get noticed. If you do stuff that is hard, people think you're an innovator. And you may or may not be, but people will think you're an
And I think people respect you, because a lot of people are afraid to do that. So even if you fail, because I've been that person that was afraid to do it, because like, oh, what if I fail? And there were times I did fail, and people still came to me and said, that was so awesome that you tried to set that up, or that was so. People respect you.
Natesh, can I just can I add one thing?
Yeah, sure.
You floored me. I mean, this is why I love listening to you. He reminded me. You know what the thing that will sell you the most in any environment today is your ability to learn. And what Natej just said is getting into those situations. One, they know you want to learn. You have a passion for learning. It doesn't disturb you. You're willing to jump in on the hard stuff. Man, that speaks volumes of who you are. And in this day and age, that there's nothing more important than an employee or family member or team member ability to learn.
Yeah, who does more? Who does that discretion? Thank you, Bruce. And then I have two ways of phrasing the same thing. So be a servant to the cause. What do I mean by that? If you're in work, take an enterprise-wide view. Don't take a functional view. So if you're an operations manager or an operations director, or you're a marketing director, don't just take a marketing view and who cares about the business. Take an enterprise-wide view. If something is good for you in your role, but it's bad for the business, don't suggest it, dude. It's just wrong. It's just wrong. Don't do it. It may be good for you, may get you noticed, but it's bad for the cause. It's bad for the enterprise. And think in an enterprise way. That will get you noticed over time if you think in an enterprise way. You know, when people say, I'm just as good as, why didn't I get promoted? Well, maybe you didn't take an enterprise-wide view. You just took your own functional and you were so good at doing your functional stuff. Angie, I don't know if this is the spot, but I also want to say what not to do as well. So tell me when you can, when I can answer that question. I've got a couple of things.
You're allowed to do whatever you want to do. So you can.
Well, you tell me when, Angie. You tell me
when. I felt like your mom for a minute. No, I don't even get my own kid rules. You can talk to my own kid. He's like, my mom doesn't have rules. So you're welcome. What do we, what should we not do, Natish?
So the two things. Don't take other people's work and take credit for it. Yeah, stop that, huge. Guys. Yeah. Stop it.
It's amazing to me how many people still do that.
You might get away with it, but do you want your kids suffering from the same thing? So don't do it. Just don't do it. And the second thing is, don't do this thing of crowdsourcing information in your organization or your group or whatever, and then going having a drink with the boss and projecting all this information so you sound intelligent, when all you've done really is you've crowdsourced other people's ideas. Don't do it, because it pisses other people off. Dude. And they won't be your advocate going forward. So anyway, Angie, thank you for letting me put
those
100%
right. Do that once.
They are my pet
whole army that Bruce just told you to build. I mean, that's the other thing I would say, like when we're building our reputation, because that's another thing we're doing and selling ourselves. It's essentially what we're doing is building our reputation. It takes forever to build trust, to build a reputation. It takes one bad move to lose it in a minute.
Great point.
I mean, I think what Natish said not to do is possibly even more important than what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy. All right.
What about you, Angie? Tell us. You've got some stuff, haven't you? What about you?
Well, I think obviously I am the marketing person, but I love how you brought that out, because I see so often I have people come to me for marketing consultations, right? And very often they come to me with a list of things that they want done or metrics that they want to meet. And I'm always shocked, because my first question is why? What are these metrics going to do for you? Like, how did you decide this is what you want to do? 90% of people can't answer that question. Like, they either got it out of AI or somebody, their competitor had this, or they, but there's never a good answer that says, because if we reach this, then my colleagues will be able to bring out a new product or a new service, or we can hire 3 more people. There's never that enterprise view, very rarely. And the people that do have it, sorry, Ozzy decided to join us today. but those people that do have it, they're so successful, they don't need me. I'm like, look, you guys nailed this. Let me give you a few tips and on your way. So that enterprise view, I think, is so, so important. And then for everybody else, we're 1 minute to break. So I'll wrap up when we come back. So Jesse, go ahead and take us to break and we'll never shut up.
Hey, everybody. It's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A-Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A-Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
All right. right. That was a short one. I was almost not ready for that. Okay. So we're back. We're back. I hope you guys are still with us. I didn't have too many sea breezes just yet. So when we left, we were talking about ways that, you know, advice for the corporate world to be able to be actively perceived in the academic world, things to do and things not to do. And I just want to, obviously, LinkedIn is my thing. And one of the reasons it is my thing is because I was that person. I had that very, that's why I chose Renaissance Woman, because it's somebody who's constantly recreating herself. And that's what I did for a multitude of reasons. One, I realized I didn't like what I was doing. Two, personal things changed, family things changed. I changed countries. So I had to keep reinventing myself. And at 40, I found myself kind of saying, oh my God, I not only do no one knows what I'm doing, and so I don't know what to do next. I don't know who I am. And so I really regret it, not telling my story all the way through. And luckily, not luckily, it was COVID, so I had nothing else to do. And I kind of went through my life and thought, well, this is my story. What I love doing is helping other people tell their stories. I love helping other people see how amazing they are and helping them tell other people and their target audience how amazing they are, so that when they're ready to do something, whether it's get a job, sell a service, start a business, write a book, you know, whatever you're going to do, that you're not popping out of the woodwork. And that's why I like LinkedIn, because you can create this profile that tells your story. It doesn't have to be a resume. There doesn't have to be dates, end dates, start dates, bosses. It's your story. And then you can use the post and the sharing so that people get to see your face all the time. And they know that you're interested in these things. They know that you know these things. They know, like Bruce said, you love learning. And sometimes that alone is enough to get you a job, if that's what you're looking for, you know. Or what if you don't want to get that job? What if you have hypothetically a wonderful uncle that retired super early and never wants to work again, but he wants to write a book? You know, then we know who this person is. And when he wants to sell the book, his persona is out there and he doesn't have to start from scratch. So that's why I encourage everybody to, one, like Bruce has said, get awareness, find out what your story is, sit down with somebody else and have them figure out what your story is, because we often don't see what's inside of us. And then two, it's doing things like Natesh said, take that action and make sure you're not taking certain actions so that you are building that army of people around you, and then tell your story. So use it on LinkedIn, use it in different networking things. And networking isn't just the official chamber events. Networking is sitting at your kid's soccer game. Networking is going to the bar with your girlfriends or guy friends. It's poker games. Networking is anytime you're around people. Just to like be able to tell your story. So that's kind of what I was going to say, is like, once you get this story, once you've decided, you know, ways that you're going to sell yourself, what are you actually going to do? So we got the awareness and we got the action. And then the next step is, every episode comes back to awareness, action, and accountability. But the next step is accountability. So Bruce, what would you say? Like, everybody's got these ideas, they've got this advice now, but guess what? They go to work and they're putting out fires all day long. They're not thinking long-term. There's no time to implement all these things. What would be your advice to someone in the corporate world to be able to really sit down, plan, and implement this?
Well, that's a tough question.
I know. It sucks. I'm glad I asked you. You didn't ask me.
in everything we've been saying, so it's interesting. So, you know, taking all of the conversation we've had to date, there is a point that you have to deliver.
Yeah.
You know, there has to be accomplishment. There has to be witnesses to what you're good at. What I would say is it does get difficult. And this goes to an earlier point that, life is a bit of a roller coaster, and certainly your professional as well as your personal. The one thing I would say is there will be times when things just don't work the way you would like. You may not have been successful as you wished you could have been. But you can't, you know, you always have to do a little bit of that self-reflecting. So what did you learn from that? Every failure is a gift. And I know that sounds incredibly bad, but it isn't.
Wow,
all of the most successful people, and I'm a I love biographies. And a common theme is they treat failure, and a lot of these people failed tremendously before they were a tremendous success. But the one common thing they have is they viewed every failure as, well, in a way, this was a bit of a gift and an opportunity. It was for something within me to potentially change, or maybe on the outside, this just isn't for me. So it was a wake-up call. So all of these are gifts and opportunities. The other thing is there will be times, God, I've lived through them where, to be honest, sometimes I've failed miserably in terms of how I responded to less than ideal results. And I regretted it. And as Tanji says, it only takes a couple of times in your career to really take a big step backwards. And so realize that when things aren't going well, all eyes are on you. And those that really, again, build their brand in an organization is when shit hits the fan, they were in control of their emotions. They were in control of how they're going to respond. They didn't throw the phone across the room. They didn't bang the desk. They sat back and went, okay, what could I learn? The other thing is accept responsibility. You know, take responsibility.
That's a big one. I think a lot of people like to pass the buck, especially in that mid-management level in corporate world. It's a combination of what Nadtej said. You see a lot of taking credit for things that were not your idea. Yep. And then the best is when they take credit for it and then it goes to hell and then they'll pass it back to you. Oh, it's really my idea.
I can't tell you the number of times we were in a conference room and something bad happened and we're in there going, and what immediately got us back on track was a simple statement. Okay. What could I have done better? Not we. Me as the individual, part of the team. Sometimes I was leading, sometimes I was following. But I always started with, in front of the whole group, what could I have done better? And just, you want to sell? People, man, I mean, they're like, oh, God, I thought he was going to get really pissed. I thought, you know, and he starts off with what, and answer the question. Because I guarantee you, you were part of that failure and contributed. But, you know, so I don't know, Angie, how well I'm answering that question, but when things aren't going well, that's still a selling opportunity. Rise above it, take responsibility, maintain your cool, maintain your emotions, and just lean into it. Lean into the discomfort. Be genuine. You might say something that sounds stupid. Nobody in that moment's going to care. They're going to appreciate the fact that, you know what? This guy is acknowledging that there are things we could have done better, especially himself. And guess what? You now have more advocates. Because it's like nobody got thrown under the bus.
Right.
We're all taking responsibility. You now built a coalition of people that the next time there's an opportunity, we want to go to battle with him.
Yeah, exactly. So, Nadtej, with the academic world, like so you gave us a lot of good advice of things to do and things not to do. But I think as with anything, that's easier said than done, right? So what would be some advice for actually implementing and doing and using some of that advice that you gave?
You know, I don't know if you asked Bruce this question or not, but I'm blown away by what Bruce just said. And I just want to pick up on that before I do answer the question. Bruce, you're totally right. And I can see you doing it all the time. I see you do it all the time anyway.
He does it now.
Let me be honest.
Mean you could talk again.
I wasn't always on. I wasn't early in my career. Yeah. People will tell you, but you learn. That's that thing about learning, having mentors, having good advocates that are are honest.
Way to go, Nantej.
You learn to do that.
Door.
But no, Nantej, I'll shut up. I'm gonna.
I'll add one thought to what Bruce was gonna say. Taking responsibility, even if you weren't, you know, you just grow. You show confidence. You show how big you are as a person. Big-hearted, big-brained. You show how big you are as a person when you take responsibilities. Why? When you don't take responsibility and you pass it to somebody else, you're really showing how weak. You're showing weakness, in my view. You're not showing confidence. You're showing weakness. But to sort of answer Angie's question and just taking it into a different sphere than Bruce took, but to pick up on the point of, you know, it doesn't matter how well you sell yourself or position yourself or how engaged you are, or how much discretionary effort you put in and how much you are a servant to the cause and to taking an enterprise-wide view, there will be ups and downs. And I think to continue to follow your vision, to continue to be participative, and do interesting things with interesting people. Do all of this selling the word that we've got lots of other words for it, but I'm going to paraphrase it with a word. Do all of that selling with a purpose. If there's no purpose, it's a heavy lift. If you're just doing it for cash, if you're just doing it for a paycheck, if you're just doing it because you want to be the VP or the COO, you won't be respected and you may not get there. And if you do get there, you may not last too long.
And you'll be miserable.
But if you do all this with purpose, if you do all of this with your, you know, you are self-actualizing where you want to be because it's your purpose, then the ups and downs won't matter. You'll ride them out.
Love that. I love that. Okay, so we are getting...
Well said.
So well said. Not that that surprises me, but
no.
He's always so well spoken.
I hate that when he does that.
I know. I'm really glad these things are recorded because I need to go get my own notes at the end of this. I'm too busy drinking while it's happening. So, okay. So we've got 1 minute to break. Why don't we go ahead and we'll go to break now. Jesse, if that's okay, and we'll pick this up when we get back. See you in a moment.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Ready to serve up success with a splash? Hi, I'm Bruce Kramer, a.k.a. the Corporate Cockroach.
I'm the Renaissance Woman, Angie Snowball.
And I'm your strategy doctor, Dr. Navtej Dasanjh, inviting you to serving up success with a splash.
Join us as we shake things up with real talk and real strategies centered around awareness, action, and accountability.
And yes, there really is a cocktail involved. Please join us and sip your way to success.
Serving up success with a splash, where wisdom meets happy hours. Cheers!
Cheers!
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Okay, we are back and we're just talking about ways to be accountable for telling your own story. How do you get started? One of my favorite quotes is Mark Twain, and he says, "The secret to getting ahead is getting started." And it's so simple, but it's so obvious. And I think that's what I would say is when people aren't sure where to start with selling themselves, just do it. Like, you got to get started. And it goes right with what Bruce and Natish said, Like, so what if you fail? Fail forward, take accountability, but you're going to learn something every time. I mean, too many times I feel like, damn it, I was 40 before I figured out what I really like to do, because too long I stayed in places I didn't like just because I was good at it, or I was making money, or it was, I never took the time to really introspect and say, who am I and what do I do? And that question didn't get answered in a day. I had to keep doing things, keep trying things to find what I really like and where I really fit. And I'm still doing that. That's why I have a brand new podcast with these guys. That's why we're doing all these new things, is you're always trying something new. But in order to tell your story, you just got to start somewhere. All right. So we got a question. Hey guys, as a guy with a bit of anxiety, what technique can someone use to stay calm when communicating? And I'm going to go to Natej first, because I think he has mastered this process of how to communicate because Bruce and I talk no matter what. We just don't shut up, right? Like, we're like, it doesn't bother us. But Natej thinks about what he's going to say, and he does it with purpose. So I think he's the best one to answer this one.
Guys, you know, I do this podcast because I just get flattered for an hour, and I just love it. Can we go for 2 hours? Can we do 2 hours twice a week from now on? But listen, to answer that question, so lots of things come to mind, but I can share a personal story, and that is that I fail a lot of times. You know, in my early career, I wanted to say things and couldn't quite say them in the way I wanted to say them. I couldn't articulate them. And I think that was probably because I was introverted and, you know, wanted to stay quiet. So I wasn't practiced. And then I thought, I better practice. So I practiced, wasn't too good at it, failed a bunch of times in communicating. And then finally, I got to marginally above average. And it was all through practicing for a long time. And I think the second thing I sort of really want to say this, it's not a negative, you know, to the person who's put that question. If you have a bit of anxiety, it means a bunch of other things too. It means that you're sincere. It means that you are sensitive. It means that you're very perceptive. It means that you can see things. It means that you're understanding. It means that you have empathy. These are great things that everybody loves. So don't worry about it, because everybody's going to love you. So just speak. Do it calmly, do it slowly, but just speak, because I'm telling you, everybody's going to love you.
That made me want to cry. That was the sweetest thing. And so true. Look, I seriously am. I'm going to cry. That was so awesome. That was awesome. I think shy people are, they see it as a negative. And I don't, Bruce can talk next. We're going to let you talk, Bruce. But as somebody who talks a lot, I'm fascinated by it. I think shy people are. I'm drawn to it. I love it. Because you're right. It's the empathy and the perception that just really draws you there. And I think a lot of what you said in the first part too, and Bruce talked about this, so I'm really going to hand it over to you, Bruce, was being comfortable in what you consider a failure. Because maybe not even everyone else does see it a failure. You may go to the party and try to start a conversation and think, oh my God, this is a disaster. I'm just going to go drink 3 shots of tequila and pretend it didn't happen. And everybody else at the party thought you were really nice and cute and you didn't even know. So I think it's about you being comfortable with your failures and failing forward. Bruce, what would you say to that?
You know, so I'm going to do a 180. Just in case the context of this question, because it was what technique can someone use to stay calm? That could also be taken like, let's something just happened that was very upsetting, or somebody said something.
Yeah, good point.
And so this is the honest God truth. And I feel really bad, because it was a famous comedian that taught me this technique. But his whole stand-up routine was, that's what I said on the inside. So for instance, somebody really pisses you off and you just want to say, or they have an opinion that you think that is the stupidest, you know? So what I do to myself, because I can be, as people around me, I've learned to control my being judgmental. On the inside, I'm saying, you stupid son of a... But on the outside, I go, well, that's an interesting perspective. Can you tell me more? And it was in his whole routine, but it's just to stop. If that's a conversation that's escalating and you're getting fired up, just think it, just say what you would say only on the inside. And then that gives you a bit of a timeout to then circle back and go, okay, this is probably a better way to handle this.
Yeah, no, that's good advice, because I think if you have anxiety, either way, whether it's because you're shy and you're afraid to start, or if you're in a bad situation, that's because I mean, I don't know. Anxiety is weird, right? I feel like I'm getting it more as I get older. I never had it before. But anyway, I feel like a bad situation, I can see where that would be terrible if you already had anxiety. Like, I just want to hide. I just want to be a turtle in my shell. So that's really good advice, because that could have been what it was too.
The other thing is to advertise. If you're feeling uncomfortable to respond to something, I forget where I learned this was, I'm thinking out loud. You know, bear with me. I'm thinking out loud, because you're conveying to the person, I might not say this right, but I'm going to share my thoughts.
Yeah, that's a good one. We were talking about this last night too. I had a women's shindig, and it was kind of one of those things like, this person's a moron, and everybody didn't want to say it right. So we were talking about techniques to like hold it in, talk on your inside voice. But this is, I'm just going to turn it again. I'm going to turn it this time, Bruce. We all said we can control our mouths, but I can't control my face. I was like, no matter. She did, because nonverbal is a big part of our communication as well, right? If you're trying to talk to somebody, because I see that too, going back to the question, like if you're anxious, like I'm drawn to shy people. I think it's interesting, and I want to help them. I want to pull the turtle out of the shell, which is also not healthy, right? But that's what I want to do. I want to pull it all the way out. So, but I think you can tell by their body language as well that they're nervous and they're not comfortable. And that changes the energy and dynamics of a conversation too. So if you are the other person, like Bruce and, you know, anybody, I think it's on us to make them feel comfortable.
Yep. Yep.
I just want to add actually that, unless you're a total hard nosed, you know, extreme assertive, aggressive human being, most contemplative, empathetic people have a little bit of anxiety. You know, just think about this. Just in the last month, how many times have the three of us phoned each other and said, oh, do you think I said the right thing?
Yeah.
That's being human.
Yeah, it's all
guys,
of us.
But you guys why keep answering me, no.
Do we suck? I think we're good. What do you think?
But you know what I mean? Why would you want to be a robot? Why would you not want to be human? You want to have some doubt. You want to have some doubt, right? You want to show kindness to other people who've got a different bit of doubt.
Yeah, nobody wants to be around the people that
just
don't.
Just being an extreme, aggressive, assertive person. You know, maybe you did, but I don't think it works in today's world.
I agree with you, because I just wouldn't want to be around that person. If they were that hard nose, I would not be interested. And I certainly wouldn't join their army.
No.
Definitely not. Okay, so we've got 3 minutes to ending. I'm going to start with Bruce. Bruce, give me one thing that you would want people to walk away with from today.
Oh, God.
Know
who you are, what your value is. Learn to articulate it in a story, not in terms of stats or short sentences. And your willingness and ability to learn is your biggest selling point in today's world.
I love it. Perfect. Now, Tej, one thing.
do stuff with purpose and do stuff that takes the wide view and not just your personal interest.
Oh, I really like that too. I think that's great. So I think everything that we talked about today, though, bringing it all full circle, is the first thing that we want everyone to do, no matter where you are in life or what you're doing, is to define your story. Who are you and where do you want to be? That's the purpose. That's everything these guys are talking about. The next step is, who wants to hear that story? Where, how am I going to tell that story? Who am I going to tell it to? Where are they? And then find a way to tell that story. And whether that's, you know, in business, it might be networking and lunches or happy hours. It might be that, but you know, it might also be LinkedIn. It might be Instagram. It might be a soccer game. It might be the poker party, but everybody has a story and everybody should be proud of their story, aware of their story, and want their story to be told. So, any last comments before we head out, guys?
Damn, that was good, Angie.
Thanks. I know. Just a mic drop.
That should have been the end, actually. But that should have been learn, Angie. That should have been the final. And that's a wrap, guys.
But yeah. I'm not changing that.
Thank you for everybody who's listening.
Other than thanks to everyone.
The questions. Really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Hey, join us next week. We're going to talk about time management.
Oh, yes. I think everybody wants it. It's another for everybody. Time management. So join us next week live at 6 p.m. or you can catch replays all over the place. We're on YouTube. Pretty sure we're on Spotify now too, right, Bruce? Or we will be.
Yeah, we're pretty much all over. We're like a bad river.
Yeah, you can't get rid of us, man. We're everywhere. So if you want to find us, let us know.
We're in your homes. We're on your shoes. Everywhere.
We are everywhere. We appreciate all of you tuning in and supporting us. I hope you're having as much fun as we do. And as a closing comment, again, find your story. Tell your story. Be proud of who you are and who you want to be. Thanks again and have a great evening. Cheers.
Cheers.
Bye, guys.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.